let's go ahead and finally get into what we need to do this evening, and that is reviews. Not just reviewing your love life over here, son. All right. Oh, let's see here. So, some are saying that the secret to a successful video game adaptation is to, first of all, forget the movies. Make it a TV show. That seems to be working. Make it very violent and mature. You know,
as video games are.
Video games are. And, you know, showing a titty or two might not hurt either. You know, and also, just do it in the apocalypse. Everybody seems to have a lot of success with that. Forget all this other stuff. If you ain't a little funny little Italian man, you know, going on a blue hedgehog thing, set up in the apocalypse. Everybody seems to be happy with that, as we've seen on these streaming services here. At least Amazon, they're hoping that that is the recipe for a successful video game adaptation. And that's what they're hoping on with Fallout right here. And so this is based on the very popular series of video games from Bethesda. You know, this takes on a whole new story, though, that you haven't seen the video games. This is 200 years after nuclear war has occurred. And, you know, if you were lucky enough to be in one of those vaults that Vault Tech was selling, then you might be living okay. You know, you might be comfortable. Like nothing ever changed. You know, just like living in the real world. Except the real world is just painted on the wall. Sun's just the big old spotlight on the roof.
Hey, if that's where you were born, that's all you know.
Yes. Unless you're in Vault 33. In Vault 33, things did not go down so well. Over in Vault 33, they were living a life of harmony and bliss until they invited some other old vault dwellers up in there. And then that's when shit went off. Yeah, people... There was all kind of violence and death and people tearing that vault apart. Oh, what happened? What happened? You know what? And that's what we're going to find out here. What is the secret behind this other vault that came in and destroyed this one right here? And on top of that, to make things worse, we got a girl named Lucy, sweet old Lucy. You know, there's Lucy right there. Don't know what the hell she's doing. She's stupid ass Lucy. Lucy was one of the most, she was one of the sweetest vault dwellers, which means she's also one of the most ignorant out of all of them, too.
Naive, sir.
Ignorant. I can't be nice about this. Nice will get you killed. See, that's what she's thinking. She's like, you know what? They kidnapped my daddy, played by Colin McLaughlin. I'm going to go up there. And I'm sure when I find him, if I use the words please and thank you, if I just be polite and nice, surely, I mean, that's the golden rule down here in Vault 33. Just be cool. Just be nice. And I'm sure if I go up there and be nice to those people, then everything will be fine. They'll get my daddy back and we can go back to living the good life over in Vault 33. Oh, this also is a story of some other people that we'll talk about in a little bit. But will it just being nice, will that indeed get her by, or will she be like other people that have tried to use the words please and thank you? Usually I got to the word please, as in please don't kill me. Please don't eat me, you know.
And it wasn't followed by a thank you.
No, they never made it to thank you usually. But I don't know. Lucy's very cute. She's very nice. Maybe it'll work with her. Let's go ahead and hopefully, we'll get a good video game adaptation. Some people are saying comics are on the way out. Video games are the ones that are working their way in until we get tired of that shit. But for right now,
the fatigue is right around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, you know, let's see if we have another great video game adaptation right here that we can enjoy before that fatigue sets in. Or maybe it's here already. Or maybe it's just like other video game adaptations out there most of the time. Straight up bullshit. But we'll see right now as we watch this trailer, which everybody has already seen. But let's watch it again. For Fallout, and then we'll be back with our review.
Hello there. I'm here to show you a wonderful place. A veritable Camelot of the nuclear age. Not made by God Almighty, but the working man.
You can be a hero by purchasing a residence in a Vault Tech vault today. Because if the worst should happen tomorrow, the world is going to need you to build a better day after.
The mission of the vaults should be important to everyone. come up to the surface one day and restart civilization. Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
Holy shit. You're an actual vault dweller.
I am.
I thought all you dipshits were dead.
Well, you know, right here, right?
She is not ready for this world. Ain't nobody even tried to kill her yet. She's already like, fuck, this is a mistake. I hate this place. Ain't nobody nice up here.
What you're doing is insane.
I don't accept the world.
It isn't like the vault out there. It's big.
I just want to start.
I've had a rough week. Practically every person I've met up here has tried to kill me.
I'm simply going to harvest your organs.
You need to go home. You come from a world of rules, of laws. You should not be alone.
Yeah, none of that is happening.
Why did you join the Brotherhood?
To hurt the people who hurt me.
People are going to come after you.
Ain't much stage cleanup here, Vaulty. Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs. Look out at this wasteland. Looks like chaos, but there's always somebody behind the wheel.
What is happening here?
Everyone wants to save the world. They just agree on how.
There you are, you little killer.
A flame in your heart.
I am familiar with the game. I played Fallout 3 and I played New Vegas back in the day. And like most people, I initially hated them because Bethesda makes very buggy games in the beginning. Like they need to be, like they want you to buy the game. And they'll be like, yo, now that you spend like back then, what was $50? Like, we'll just patch it later. They are still doing that now. It's one of the latest Fallout game, Fallout 76. I know that that one, the players actually made that game fun. They didn't patch that thing until like a year later or something. They was plagued with bugs when it came out. Damn. Yeah, man. Big old nasty bugs, like the mutant bugs in this show right here.
Well, I can't say I started playing New Vegas and I'm early in the game and a giant scorpion killed me, a bug. And I went back to, I respawned, and every time I respawn, he's right there and just kills me immediately.
Run.
I run, he runs faster than I do. Even I'm running, he's stinging me. I'm like, okay, I can't win with this thing.
No, but you know what? I did start playing, the games after I got over the bugs and whatnot. And I didn't even patch the games and I got into them. And one of the things I really admired about a Fallout game is just that it's such a unique world, and it's such a, you know, it's a weird mix of so many different things in this game, and that's how this show is. This show is just a weird mixture of comedy, satire, and dramatic storytelling in the middle of all this goofiness that's going on.
Yeah, and gore.
Extreme
violence.
But I tell you though,
sadness.
I tell you, it worked for me. I really like this, man. And I'm going to tell you what really works for me with this is, and see, the biggest thing is, okay, so I'm familiar with the game. You're familiar with the game. You ever played any of these games before?
I was about to play it, but no, I didn't.
Well, if you played the game, then you know that at the beginning of it, it's a weird alternate reality that's going on. You know, when you start out, you know, the world is it's the future. But it still has the aesthetic of the 50s and the early 60s. I mean, right from the you know, the mid-century modern style to, you know, the Cold War is still going on. Technology is more advanced, but everything looks like a B-movie science fiction film from the 60s or 70s. You know, TVs have a weird shape to them. They have this weird space age look to them. People have robots. Robots are like big-ass octopuses floating around. You know, it's they got their own version of the smartphone. They got these things called Pip Boys on their arms. You know, like I said, it's stuff that you would see in a B-movie or comic book from the 50s or something like that. Also, what's off-putting is that as crazy as the world is, I looked around and I said, damn, where'd the racism go? You know, it's the 50s, but nobody's, you know, they got black people out there with, you know, looking just like people dressed like back in the 50s, like the white people did in the suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, and they are in the suburbs living side by side. So, you know, normally people would say that, oh, well, the future has gotten better. But sexism is still a little thick. You know, women are still expected to look pretty while cooking and doing housework. But it's okay because all of them get pretty much liberated by the bomb later when things blow up. In fact, the bomb was probably a favorite of them because all of a sudden, they ain't got to cook and clean all day.
Yeah, that's true.
Too busy trying to stay fucking alive. But I really, and I don't know if it's just me or not. I don't know if you could really trust my opinion. I'll ask you in a little bit. I don't know if you can trust my opinion because, you know, after being familiar with the game, I'm looking at the game right here and I'm thinking, damn, they brought this game to life, man. This world that I've played in before and recognized, they did everything from the art direction, the settings, the color palette. They got elements lifted straight from this game. The vaults look like they do in the game right here. You know, they got those buildings that are barely holding up in the dusty ass wasteland. I was blown away. And the Easter eggs, you know, that's been a big thing with me about how people do Easter eggs, nostalgia, fan service. I think that's one of the biggest things that they got right here. And one of the coolest things that you can do with a TV series. You can have enough room spread out to put those things in without forcing them in and stopping the everything to say, hey, look, it's the thing you remember right here. Hey, y'all love that thing right there. You know, with this, they have a lot of references from the game for fans to see in the background. You know, and the thing is, it's in the background if it doesn't play part of the story. Now, what they do later with some stuff is that they actually put it in the story. You know, I'm looking at some of the stuff that they have here. You might be, you know, when you're watching this, you're going to see things from the game, like creatures that they got in the game. You know, anywhere from stuff like this, you know, like mutated animals to, you know, flesh-eating cockroaches. The bottle caps as currency, they worked into the story very well. You know, they don't stop the movie, you know, the show to show you the bottle caps or anything. People just talk about it and they use it as a, you know, as a way to bargain with each other. The Pip Boys are in the game, I mean, are in the show, and they don't seem, you know, weird or out of place. You know, people eat jerky meat made from other people. And, you know, it's the game mechanics are in the show, but it plays well with the story. Health aids like rat away whenever you have radiation poisoning or stim shots.
Stim packs.
The stim packs. The towns and the vaults, as I said, you know, they have one of the towns from the game, from the very first game, plays a big role in the story right here. So, I don't know what that means to people who have not played this game before. Like, if you're not familiar with this, there you go. They even got your boy Dog Meat up in here, as you saw. A lot of people are saying, wow, you got everything up in here. I don't know if that's Dog Meat. I think that's a dog that's about to eat somebody. But, you know, I don't know if that's Dog Meat.
A random ass dog.
Yeah. But they got a dog in there that's from the game. I would really like to know what this would be like for people who are not familiar with this. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that they do such a good job, and I don't like using this term, but I don't know what else to say right now. World building. You know, I think they do such a good job with that and make this world so much fun, even as disturbing and depressing and violent as it is. I think they make it so much fun that other people can get in here without having to know the game. And like I said, they don't stop things to show the fans. They work into the story. So if you don't know anything about it, it plays enough well into the story where you can get into the story and not have to know anything about this. That's the real magic of any adaptation, whether it be a book or a movie or a game or, you know, a cartoon, anything. You know, make the story first, put all that stuff second. I think they did it excellent here.
Well, speaking as someone who's not familiar with the game, because like I said, I played New Vegas but like maybe one night, and I barely got anywhere on it. So I'm still not familiar. And I'm watching this show, and it's all new to me. Mm-hmm. And at no point did I feel like, no, I won't say that. There was one or two times where I felt like it stopped to go, huh, here's something from the game, huh, huh? Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm just looking at it as a new story that I'm mm-hmm. into. And one of my favorite things, because I had different feelings about different episodes, but something I loved in every episode mm-hmm. was the world building. Because, and when I say that, I was like, some episodes are up here and some are just kind of here. Nothing's down there.
Yeah.
But even in an episode that's here, I was like, you still introduce so many interesting concepts in this. And it's all so cohesive. And they wrote this in a way where there is a story behind what you're looking at. And the more the episodes play out, the more it becomes interesting. Like, okay, what's really going on? What aren't you telling me yet? What are you leading to? And I just found myself like I don't want to live in this world.
Yeah.
But I love watching this world.
Oh yeah.
And seeing all these things come together.
Oh yeah. No, it's funny because like I said, it's very weird how they make all these things come together and kind of just work together in ways that I think things like that could. It's a very goofy world, you know. Most of the stuff that you would see in something like this used to be reserved for like family shows or kid shows or something like that. Like these everything or let me just change that. A lot of this is really done well because what they do is they take a lot of those goofy things from the game, like the signs and the posters and the thumbs up guy. And they use that to show just how naive these dwellers are. Vault dwellers are. And it is a great contrast to just the shitty world that's up there. You know, down here, it's still the 50s and 60s sci-fi thing going on and people living, you know, like they are in the suburbs still. And, you know, and everything is meant to look innocent to the point where it is kind of goofy looking. But it's in such contrast with the violence that goes up on the surface world that it works very well.
Well, I feel like, and I can't name it, but I feel like I've seen something before where you had people who lived underground and then there was people on the surface and there's a different world out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a trope that's been in sci-fi for a while. However, when you get to the surface, every episode, there's some new wrinkle to what's going on the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's never a point where you go like, okay, I think I got it. It's like, you think you got it? Well, there's also this out there. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. And there's also this.
Yeah.
And there's this faction. And then this other vault. And these other people. And, there's ghouls. And they don't work the way you think they do.
No, there's always a new story element that's being introduced. And, you know, the reason why it surprisingly works so well because you have this, you know, you have these really cartoonish and comedic images and situations and even characters. You know, all this stuff is meant to be purposely funny, mm-hmm. but on top of that, it's all mixed in with an extremely violent show. I'm talking about people's not heads exploding, but heads being just slowly crushed. You know, severed limbs are going on in this. There's a lot of bloody gun violence going on, and a lot of it's done in slow motion. That's another thing with the game. They was in the game when you know how if you played the game, you know how it is. If you got somebody good, they'll replay it and show it from different angles. If you take somebody's head out, the head explodes, they're like, oh no, you don't know how beautiful that looks unless we just break it down and slow it down for you. And they'll slow things down. They even have a system in the game called VATS where things slows down and you shoot people that way. So, you know, that you thinking like it's just a cool shot, you know, or just a cool bit of violence that they've done for this. People play the game, they're like, damn, that's even kind of, they even got that down, what they do in the game when they show people's deaths from different angles on slow motion. You know, it's, and when I say it's violent, ain't no one safe. I'm a dog person. They kill puppies in this thing and all kinds of, I'm just warning you. And I ain't talking about it in quick, you know, humane ways. I won't even tell you, but if you're a dog person, there's one scene you're not going to like. It's, you know, and it's appropriate. The only reason why I wasn't sitting up here is like, man, fuck this, or going John Wick on it is because that's the world. The world is brutal.
Yeah.
It's heartless. You know, that's the way this world should be. And like I said, it is extremely violent. You've already probably seen this clip, but the little bit of violence that you see in this clip right here, it's 10 times worse than the show where you see it. You've been warned.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave him alone. Now, I acknowledge that I'm unfamiliar with your circumstances, but at first glance, your treatment of this man appears unfair, and I'm obliged to intervene. Now, if your instinct is to harm me, as a person simply trying to de-escalate a conflict, then I'll have to assume of the two of you, you are likely the primary aggressor. In which case, I think everyone in this town would agree that force is justified. Unless you willingly stand down now.
Fucking involved, well.
She getting the superhero music and everything.
Now, I thought they're going to show you this, that how, this is how violent the show is. This man on the ground didn't do nothing. And you see he's got his foot shot off.
Yeah.
Just stepping out and talking and saying hello to the Walter Goggins character. I thought they showed that in a clip that I was going to show. And you don't need to say it anyway. Watch the show. It's extremely violent.
Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs.
She said, stand down. Knight Titus of the Brotherhood of Steel, stand down or be cut down.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
I'm just laughing at a comment in the comment section. And this kind of proves my point. Somebody, I froze it right here. And somebody looked at that and said, oh, my God, his leg. Like, okay.
Yeah.
If the still image of that bothers you or is getting to you or that shocks you, brace yourself for the show because they show these things being like, if you think the look of that is bad right there in a still shot, just watch it being exploded in kind of slow motion with blood splattering everywhere like Kool-Aid.
Well, it's one of these things where no character feels safe because not only can you be killed, but it's nothing for you to lose a limb.
No.
In a horrific way.
Oh, yeah. No. Again, goes back to the game, too, because you, with their fighting system, you can pinpoint limbs on people to shoot them off. So damn. It's actually kind of cool. But, you know, it just seems like it's, it fits this violent world when you see it in the show. It doesn't seem like they're trying to remind you of the game or anything like that. And we'll get into some of these characters right here because I think this is a great cast that they got here too. Something else people aren't safe from in this world by segues.
He went fast on that one. He went too fast. I did.
His eyes shifted. I was like, he's about to do something.
I do have to give a word to our sponsor right now. We'd have to stop for a moment. I'm going to tell you about something right here that'll help your world. And that is if you are an entrepreneur of any type or a budding entrepreneur, somebody who has simply something to sell, like many of our toasties here in the Double Toast community. I told you, I look at these things that people make. Went to one of my New York shows. A girl named Marley made figures of myself and you, Martin, right here. And I looked at her and I said, damn, girl, you talented. I said, you should put that talent to use and maybe find a way to start selling these kind of figures or dolls or posable figurines there online somehow, some way. I don't know how you do it, but a good place to start would be Shopify. People got to get word out to Shopify for sponsoring this portion of the show. And Shopify, the reason why I'm telling you to start with this is because they are the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. I'm talking about whether you're just getting started or if you're lucky enough to make that millionth sale, Shopify is with you all the way. From the launch of your online shop all the way to that millionth order, they're there to make sure that you are good. They will not let you down. They will not leave you alone. As I said, you know, whether you're selling cheese or chihuahuas, you know, you
actually I, pixie I, on I, Shopify.
Yeah, I might have to put you on Shopify. the little lady will fetch a good price. Now, I don't know if they sell chihuahuas on there, but you know, they do sell a lot of things. So you have options, you know, if you sell something, chances are you could probably sell it on Shopify. And they offer great support. They got you covered, and you can sell more with less effort now, thanks to Shopify Magic. That is the AI-powered system that they have available for you. People, businesses that grow with Shopify, that means you out there. I know you're creative. I know you got something to give to the world. Don't just give it to them. Sell it to them. Started with Shopify. Yeah, exactly. Ooh, I got to testify over that. Amen. Yeah, sell it to the world. And start with Shopify. And here's something that's going to get you started. You know, you gotta have money to make money. So that means you need to save all the money that you can to get started. Shopify realizes that. So here's what they're going to do. Go to Shopify.com/toasted. And if you do that, you all lowercase, by the way, you will have available to you a $1 per month trial period. Again, if you go to Shopify.com/toasted, again, all lowercase. Let me spell it out for you. Shopify.com/TOASTED. Go ahead and whatever you have to sell to the world, get that $1 per month trial period by putting in our code. I want to thank Shopify for sponsoring this portion of the show. And as always, I want to thank you out there with your creative self for supporting everything that we do. All right. Let's see what we have here. So if you know the game, they do the same thing with the TV show right here. Prides itself on being humorously weird. But I'll tell you, it knows when to be weird and kooky and goofy. It has fun playing with this world in extremely silly ways. And as that clip you just saw, you know, they do have a great sense of humor about things. But it takes these main characters serious enough to give them a legit story. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I really was impressed with. You know, we just saw Walter Goggins. Walton Goggins. Yeah. What, they're using him a lot. They use him for Invincible.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, man. He's
got a great agent.
What was he in Invincible?
Cecil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, here he's a.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. And see, this is how things work here. Because Walton Goggins in this show, he plays Cooper. Cooper, back in the day, was an actor playing a popular cowboy character who somehow is still alive 200 years later after the apocalypse. And his story is out there, man. Him looking like the Red Skull right here. He's pretty much a gunslinging cowboy zombie. With the cartoon cowboy accent. I mean, he's pretty much a stereotype. You heard him a little while ago talking like this. That's a lot of drugs and a big bucket of drugs, whatever.
Yeah. Everything with him is a slow walk and the pistols.
Yeah, exactly. He's pretty much the bounty hunter, gunslinger cliche that we've seen. But, and that, you know, and that's okay because the show knows that it's playing with that cliche. It knows that it's doing it for humor in a way.
Is that character in the game?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a whole new character.
Oh, okay.
They do have sentient ghouls. Like, if you get too radiated, I think you turn into a ghoul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's
no.
Cool.
No, there's a whole new story with whole new characters. So, this character's not in the game. There are characters like this, probably. But even though this character is like this stereotype cliche, I mean, it's like a couple of them wrapped up in one, a zombie and a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
<It's>
like, yeah.
Man, what are you, 8 years old? You know what I mean? But looking at this, man, his backstory is played out with believable drama. Let me cut this down. His backstory is played out with a believable drama, man. When you get to about episode 4 and they start going into his life, with his family, his career, back in the early days before the apocalypse happened, you know, they play it out earnestly.
Sure.
They played out seriously, you know, again, despite the absurdity of this world.
Well, and even in the first episode where he's there, you know, at ground zero, basically, when the bomb drops.
Oh, yeah. When you first get into it, his story is the one that kicks off everything. And it's done well. You're like, I'm not sure what happened, but you get the impression that he did something to ruin his career. He's down on his luck. He's washed up. He went from being one of the highest paid actors on television to going to kids' parties and doing doing rodeo tricks.
Yeah.
He's pretty much a clown at this point. Everybody's talking about him. Oh, look at this asshole. What happened to him? Until his luck gets worse. And he and his daughter witnessed the first bomb droppings. And like I said, you know, they play his, they get from this first episode. And after that, they play with the whole ghoul zombie cowboy thing. And then by the time they get to the fourth episode and they start getting more into his backstory, it's like, damn, this is really played out seriously. It's played out dramatically. And somehow, despite all these absurdities that we have here, it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I think that's the benefit of having a show, because you can stop and either take a whole episode or like big chunks of an episode to explore these characters.
Yeah.
It's not that you can't fit serious drama within, you know, cartoon like violence and images and characters. It's how much you treat that character seriously and make people believe and feel for that character.
Sure. Well, even with the cartoony and humorous stuff, there's always something sinister behind it.
Yeah.
It's not something dangerous. So you never just get to relax and laugh. You're like, I'm chuckling now, but something's around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time something seems funny, they start playing that do-do-do-do, that ominous music and everything. Like, oh, shit. I can't have fun for nothing, can I?
Right.
Damn. But that's the way it should be, because it's, you know, one of the things about doing an episodic TV show is that they set up something, a cliffhanger or something sinister at the end. And there's always secrets that some secrets are revealed, and then that just leads to more secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a great job with this, man. You know, and again, a lot of these characters are because of that. And I really do like that they treat these your main characters. I like that they treat them seriously. You know, they don't use the excuse that this is a comedy to cheapen these characters. Lucy, who's played by Ella Pernelli, she's played up for a lot of laughs in the beginning because she is so naive. And she doesn't know how to go get around this world. She has so many quick. It's funny how she doesn't die. She should be dead. It's funny how just a dumbass somehow manages to get out of trouble. You know, the way she's using politeness to try to get around this world. You know, she should be dead in the first 5 minutes.
That's all she knows.
Yeah. But it's funny until her story starts to take a serious turn about, you know, around episode 4 or 5. It's a dark, serious turn. And then, you know, where her naivete was starting to piss me off, I was like, you know what? I am really invested in what this girl's story is. And I even feel a lot of sympathy for her by the time we get there. You know, it's not, you know, it takes a dark turn where it's not funny anymore. And, you know, the shift from being humorous to being darkly serious, they flow into it very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how you're about your writing and storytelling, y'all.
Well, I mean, that's good storytelling when you can feel different ways about different characters. Because with, you know, the cowboy ghoul, he might seem cool, and then sometimes you're like, man, fuck this guy. And then later you're like, okay, I kind of get it.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that these characters are complex. I mean, Cooper would do something just absolutely heinous and shitty and just make you hate this character. And then, you know, he'll do something where it's like, well, okay, I get it. You know, you did what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of your best Westerns are very morally complex like that. And this whole, a lot of this plays out like a Western too. You know, we're talking about all the characters that are played well here, all the characters that are good. I would say that there's probably one character that was kind of getting to me. Let me see if I can find him here.
Me too for a while, but I came around.
Yeah, and you probably know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the character of Maximus. Maximus, who's played by Aaron Moten. He's part of the Brotherhood of Steel. If you played the game, you know who they are. They're a faction that goes out and they find old tech and repurpose it. Also, they're the ones with the cool ass tech suits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those giant ass RoboCop mech suits that they got out there, which are an amazing effect in here. You know, I don't know how much of this is practical and how much is CG. I'm sure a lot of it is CG.
That's a cool-ass shot. I ain't gonna lie.
No, man. There's a lot of wallpaper. There's a lot of cool-ass shots with these mech armors here, man. I'm gonna tell you, it was great to see a black character be the lead in this, or one of the leads in this. But it took me a while to get with them, because this brother's always nervous and mumbling most of the time. You know, I was like, God, spit it out, man.
Yeah, I know. Shit. I know.
And
I
mean, quit being a bitch about this.
Yeah,
things.
He's kind of a bitch.
Like, man, you can tell the guy right now.
Yeah, through so much of it. He's got a weird kind of Cuba Gooding Jr. meets
bitch. No. Justice Smith?
No, the guy who just got in trouble.
Jonathan Majors.
Yeah. Because the way he was, Jonathan Majors was always crying in so many of his roles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a thing between the two of them. But I appreciated that they made that character so weak and just kind of like, brother, come on. But he eventually does come around.
Yeah. No, they did that on purpose, too. He's the weak-ass character, becomes a hero, the unexpected hero, you know, and eventually he does step up.
Mm-hmm. But it took a long time.
Yeah, it took a long time. I'm sorry, I want to help, but I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can't help. I'm like, oh, fuck off, man. Stop. Stop. I'm tired of this. Speak up, boy. The goddamn molasses out your ass in your mouth. I'm sick of this. Yeah, man. But he eventually became a strong character near the end. You just got to deal with a lot of bitchery before that, man. And a lot of, like we said, a lot of other subplots are going on, man, with a lot of the side characters. We'd be here all day if we tried to tell you like a lot of the secrets, because while so many different genres too, it's a science fiction show, it's a Western, it's a mystery.
It's the mystery, yeah.
You know, and it's all working, it's you a know, comedy. Tangentially all, you know, it's a comedy, and it's all working tangentially all, you know, together, man. It's like, I really admire this show. I really do. You know, the only thing I would say is that I think the first half is stronger than the second half. I think, you know, there's so much that's being introduced. It gets a little, there's a lot to keep up with. And it's not that you won't understand it all or it's hard to get. It's not that. It just feels a little like overwhelming near the end with so
that's
much.
That's funny.
Going
I felt the opposite.
Really? It didn't make me hate anything.
No. Never hate. It's just that I found the second half to be stronger than the first.
Really?
Half.
Yeah. Really? I don't know. I guess I just like the setup, man. You know, but then that's a small thing. I'm not saying that one is better than the other.
Yeah.
I think it works all the way through. In other words, we are lucky enough to have another, in my opinion, great video game adaptation. Maybe putting it on a streaming service and putting it in the apocalypse. If that's what we got to do, then just keep doing it. Hell, put Sonic in the apocalypse. You know, put Mario in the apocalypse. I mean, if that's what works, that's what works. But I think fans will love this. Especially the fans will love this. It's just so much that they got right for you to watch, and the Easter eggs and the rewards that you get from how much attention to detail that they paid to on this show right here. But if you haven't played the games, you can still watch this. I think it's the big key word here is fun. They do a good job of just being fun while still somehow telling captivating stories. I admire this a lot. And I'm glad that we're getting to an age where we've already had some good video game adaptations, but I'm glad we're getting mature adaptations that work. And I'm glad that TV shows, this is a full price for me. I had a lot of fun with this. Let me just say this. I had no expectations, but it's everything I expected. I loved it. I really did.
Well, I had expectations because the trailer was so good. And fortunately, it pretty much met my expectations. I will say, like, if I was to say my criticisms would be, like, so many of the episodes in the first half are an hour or a little over. And yeah. I was like, if these were 45 minutes, I think they'd be perfect. Also, there's a lot of CGI, especially with the backgrounds. Most of it works, some of it doesn't, and it's a little wonky. And all of the zombie or ghoul makeup just looks like rubber masks. Like that was like for all the money they pumped into this, that was the one place where they're like, man, y'all skimped on this part here. That said, I think I liked or loved every episode. I thought the first episode was very much a full price. Next three were like high matinees, and then the last four were all full price. But the last episode being a high full price. Yeah, so this comes as a low full price for me. Because really, I was enjoying the first half, but when it got to the second half, it became a show where I'm looking forward to watching the next episode.
Yeah.
Because, so the first four are just setting things up. But as things are starting to come together in those last four, I was really digging in.
Yeah, I'm telling y'all, man. I mean, told you, the key word is fun. Fun. I've never saw something and wish they would drop bombs. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, it'll be rough. It'll be dangerous, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, it's so much of like everybody, even the people who are you think are evil or dastardly, mm-hmm. they have their points.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of I don't want to say questionable morality. It's a lot of complex morality mm-hmm. going on with this. Yeah. Yeah, man. I really enjoyed it. You got two full prices right here.
I'm only upset that I'm done with the first season. I want to go home and watch the next episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Martin, the bad news. Well, here. No, it's good news and bad news. Good news is, and this is good news for people out there, too. They are going to have a second season. Mm-hmm. And this one drops off where they, you know, it ends teasing a second season.
Yeah.
Bad news is your ass gonna have to wait.
Oh, I know.
Fucking wait 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that shit, man.
Maybe.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm sorry they made this so good. I wish it was another suck ass video game adaptation.
Right. Right. Then you can just walk away from it.
I wouldn't have to wait for a couple of years. Damn, I hate good shit. Gotta wait for it. Take time. Yeah, man. Yeah, highly recommended here. Watch it. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
And all episodes are out right now.
Yeah, all the episodes are out right now. And Amazon is killing it, man. They're killing it. Once you get through watching this, go on and watch Invincible. You know, Amazon's mm-hmm. doing a great job with this
and
stuff,
And then
man.
The boys.
And then yeah, the boys will be out soon. Gen V. You know, God damn, Amazon.
Yeah, Gen V's going to be a minute, though.
No, it is. Oh, because your boy died. Yeah, yeah. Well, you made it to the end of the video. That must mean you really like what we do. So if you do, check out these other videos just like this one. Check out our other YouTube channels and subscribe to join our wonderful Toasty community. And as always, stay toasty.